Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 24th of March. In the last half hour of the program today, we continue a conversation with Dr. Gene Edward Veith, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross, The Way of the First Evangelicals. Today we're going to talk about living in two kingdoms at once. Now, I think many Christians have a sense of this, but many Christians at the same time miss a crucial distinction between what we will call two kingdoms, confusing the two, perhaps overlapping the two, perhaps getting the two mixed up in their list of priorities. What does it mean to live at the same time under God's authority in a world where the means are reason and force and the end is simple justice and peace, and at the same time in the kingdom where the same God rules, but through the word, with no coercion whatsoever, toward the end of not a better society or worldly peace, but reconciliation with God, the forgiveness of sins? Do we live in one at one time and another at another? Is one only for Sunday morning and the other for the rest of the days of the week? Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia, and he's authored the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross. Dr. Veith, welcome back.
Good to be with you again.
This is a very important distinction, one that is so often not recognized or perverted in some way by both liberal Christians and conservative evangelicals. They both seem to get it wrong in the same way. Explain.
Well, I think both of them assume that the relation between the church and the world is that the church should rule the world, or if not that directly, that the business of the church is improving the world or creating a more moral world, a more just world. And people with left-wing politics, that takes the form of liberal Christianity and the social gospel of the left, that Christianity is not about heaven in the supernatural sense, but bringing heaven on earth. But then even conservatives sometimes have that same idea, and they're working with the social gospel of the right, too, where Christians dealing often with very, important, valid political ideas, but that becomes the business of the church. And so, again, the business of the church is to improve the world, and the focus of it becomes this world rather than the next world.
All right. Let's make the basic distinction between what have been called in Reformation theology the two kingdoms or the two governments. What's the basic distinction?
Well, that God rules everything, and he rules the world, and he rules it by virtue of his creation. He made it. He keeps it in existence. The natural laws that he built into his creation are working. He rules it through his moral law in societies. The moral law helps to keep sinful people from tearing each other apart. And that first use of the law is very important, and it's a necessity in the functioning of the world and any human society, any human culture. But then God also has another kingdom. He has a spiritual kingdom, which he rules not through the moral law, but through the gospel, that he creates in people, in and through the church, where he brings forgiveness and salvation and eternal life. And so God rules the world, he rules the church, he rules in the material realm, he rules in the spiritual realm. He has two kingdoms, and a Christian is a citizen of both kingdoms. Last time we talked about vocation, how Christians are saved from their sin, justified by faith, but then sent out into the world to live out their callings in the family, in the workplace, in the society. And again, God works through vocation to govern his earthly kingdom. And of course, then he works in the special vocation in the church through the pastor and through our being called into faith by God's word. And so he works in both of those realms, which need to be kept distinct because he operates them in different ways. Christians are to be involved in the world, and we are to be involved with politics and economics and the other issues of the world and of the culture we're in, but not, that's not our religion. That's not our faith. We are called to do what we can in the world, but it's impossible to bring heaven on earth. And we're always going to have problems and trials and tribulations and problems and the rest as we interact in the world. That's the nature of our condition. But we're also citizens of the spiritual kingdom, where we are free from the law. We're free from just about everything under Christ. And so that frees us, I think, to live in the world more effectively. But when we start confusing these realms and turning the earthly realm into our religion, or our religion into the earthly realm, that's when things start going terribly wrong.
So it sounds as though the trick here is to understand the relationship between the two, and maybe even more basic than that, remember that as a Christian, you live in both all the time. You never really can opt out of either God's right-hand kingdom, the spiritual kingdom of the gospel and the forgiveness of sins, or his left-hand kingdom, the kingdom wherein we answer to the agencies he's appointed through law and force and reason.
Well, that's right. They're both operative at the same time. Even as Christians are, you know, we're both in the world but not of the world, to use the language that Jesus used in his great prayer in the garden, but he prayed for us. So we are to be in the world. We're not just to separate from it like, you know, the monastics did that we talked about last time. Or like, you know, some of the fundamentalists or the Amish or others pulling away from it, which only means setting up our own separate cultures that often go bad for the very same reasons as the world. We're sent in the world to love and serve our neighbors, but at the same time, we're not of the world. Our deepest identity, our security, comes from our knowledge of Christ and the everlasting life that he gives us freely. So it's possible to be both spiritual and live a very spiritual life, but also to live it in the world. And again, those aren't necessarily contradictions, but it's just two aspects of the life that God gives us.
So when Christians expect that culture should conform to and reinforce, buttress basic Christian beliefs and moral principles, are they confusing the two kingdoms?
Well, it's just never going to happen because the world is sinful, and the world is a place of brokenness, and where, you know, the devil is also at work. And so we don't want to put our hope and our confidence in the structures of the world or in political power or, you know, as if we could force people to be Christians or even force people to be good. It doesn't work that way. Now, people can be restrained from doing evil sometimes, which is why we need laws and governments and police officers and the military and the like. But what saves people, what changes them from the inside, is the transformation that God works through the gospel of Christ. And so a Christian lives by faith, but then that faith is expressed in the physical realm because he's a physical person. God calls us, again, like we talked about before, and there are different vocations to live in this world. And I think Christians are to do what they can, even knowing that they're not going to solve all the world's problems. They're not going to create a utopia. You know, you'd think if a utopia were popular or were possible, we'd have built it by now. But every single utopian scheme turns out to be tyrannical, and it's just a great proof of the fallen nature that we have. And yet, you can do good. You can vote for good people, work for good laws. We can certainly measure how our society is run by God's transcendent law. Here's one way that the doctrine team is often misunderstood.
Let's save that for the other side of the break. Our time grows short here, but when we come back, we'll let Dr. Veith finish his thought. We're talking about Living in Two Kingdoms, part 5 of our 6-part series on Reformation theology. Dr. Jean Edward Veith is provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. He's author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross, The Way of the First Evangelicals. We'll be right back.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
How are sinners declared righteous before a holy God? Where can we find the presence of God today? How can I discover God's will for my daily life? You'll find answers to these questions in the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross. Check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Spirituality of the Cross by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Spirituality of the Cross by Dr. Jean Edward Veith.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues, Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues, Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup holder for your double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out, www.steadfastlutherans.com. You are
my soul. Dr. Jean Edward Veith is our guest. This is Issues, Etc. We're talking about living in two kingdoms at once. Part 5 of our 6-part series on the Reformation theology. Dr. Veith, before we went to the break, you were going to describe some of the ways that this distinction is misapplied by Christians.
Right. The Doctrine of Two Kingdoms is not a dualism. And some people will invoke the Doctrine of Two Kingdoms, and so they say, well, my faith doesn't have anything to do with how I live my everyday life, or God doesn't have anything to do with politics or laws or anything like that. Or the if the earthly kingdom is from God, then we've got to obey the earthly ruler no matter how tyrannical and evil he is. But those are misunderstandings. The Doctrine of Two Kingdoms is a way to bring the earthly realm and the spiritual realm together because God rules them both. And so what God says about the earthly kingdom or about issues that we face today is very important. A good example is the pro-life movement. Legalized abortion is a horrible thing, and Christians are right to get involved in the political realm, the social realm, to battle that evil. A lot of people say, well, but that's your religion. You don't have the right to impose your religion on anybody else. Well, again, for the Doctrine of Two Kingdoms, that's not our religion. The God's law, the moral law, not killing children, that applies to everyone, and that's for everyone. Our religion is the forgiveness of sins. Our religion is what we can tell to a woman who has gotten an abortion, saying that Christ offers you forgiveness for what you've done. And so there are two realms. Another place I see that, there are a number of Lutheran colleges, for example, that teach evolution in their biology classes, and they'll use the Doctrine of Two Kingdoms as an explanation. They say, well, we believe in the two kingdoms, so we teach evolution in our biology classes, but in our theology classes, we teach creation. Well, the Doctrine of Two Kingdoms says that God rules the world through his creation, the moral law, through reason, and these other things. So if you don't believe in creation, or you don't believe in the moral law, or you don't believe in reason, you're not following the Doctrine of the Two Kingdoms. So I think the Doctrine of Two Kingdoms is a very helpful and very applicable and very practical way to help Christians sort out the different things they face in, you know, living in this culture, living in this non-Christian culture, giving positive directions for how they can be effective without having them be blown away by the culture. Another way this happens is when the church thinks it has to follow the culture. And all the churches that whatever the culture is doing, well, we have to change what we do in order to be like the culture. And you see that in everything from worship styles to approving, you know, gay marriage that some churches are doing, because that's the culture, so the church always has to follow along. That's another way of confusing the two kingdoms.
You spoke earlier about monasticism, in some cases, radical attempts to withdraw from the world, so to speak. The Christian always takes the world with him wherever he goes because he's part of it. But nowadays, especially in American Christianity, that form is not so popular, but it still manifests itself, I think, and that is in attempts, either popular or more serious attempts, to kind of create a Christian subculture wherein Christians can kind of reside safely. They got their own books, publishing houses, they got their own music, they have their own movies, they got their own television, they've got everything of their own kind of in parallel to anything that the world might offer. And there are a lot of Christians who think the world would be, it would be much easier living in the world if we could keep ourselves kind of, at least in what we expose ourselves to, a Christian subculture. What are your thoughts there?
Well, somebody said that doing that mindset is Christians trying to be out of the world and yet of the world. Again, versus to be in the world but not of the world. A lot of Christians have that backwards. And so they do the very same thing the culture does, play the very same kind of music and the very same kind of entertainment mentality, very same kind of pop culture, even bringing it into the church, while they think they're being separate from it. The problem with setting up your own Christian culture is that Christianity is not a culture. Christianity is for every tribe and every nation and every language under heaven, as we're clearly taught in the New Testament. And so it's not a culture. And when you try to turn it into a culture, you're distorting it. You're making a religion of law instead of gospel, making it a function of how you behave or how you act or what you're supposed to do, rather than, again, what Christ has done for us. And whenever these subcultures are set up, whether they're in the monastery or the Christian communes of the 60s or in, you know, fundamentalist experiments, you know, television ministries and the theme parks and so on, sin always breaks in. And that's a reminder that setting up a culture isn't going to solve the problem of sin. Again, only the action of Christ can do that. But the problem is when we get fixated on creating a culture, we're in the realm of law again instead of the realm of the gospel.
There was an insight that someone once shared with me that I thought has been very helpful to me, to understand that while we maintain this distinction between the two kingdoms, and that in the kingdom of the world, God indeed rules, and his end is simply justice and peace, insofar as that can be achieved here among fallen human beings through human agencies. But the insight was, at the same time, God is providing in the world for us, for the church, in fact, and for the proclamation of the gospel, all the avenues necessary, that the roads that the Roman culture built, a great culture, by the way, were really being built not for the Romans, but through God's agency, for Paul, to bring the gospel. The telephone, the television, the internet, the radio, all the other avenues, while the world gets to borrow them to all sorts of good and evil ends, God is really providing these things ultimately for his church. What are your thoughts there?
Okay, that's a good point. One of the points Luther made was in distinguishing this is that the church must never use power. The church mustn't use violence to try to get people to, you know, be members of the church or even to defend itself. He said that the church should suffer when it's under attack. But the state should protect the church and protect the gospel. And so when we enjoy the freedoms in this country that allow us to practice our faith freely, that's a great blessing from the hand of God, which he gives through the earthly kingdom. And that's right, the earthly kingdom really serves the spiritual kingdom in so many ways. Not that, again, the earthly kingdom, you know, has its own very great and good things about it. And even among non-Christians, God is sovereign. He's providentially working. He feeds the just and the unjust, or the rain falls on the just and the unjust. He gives daily bread to people who don't know him or who reject him. And so the whole world, God is at work. But certainly, what will last far longer than the world or than civilizations themselves,
about 20 seconds,
cultures, is the kingdom of heaven that will fully know when, after this world passes away.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll conclude our series on Reformation theology with Dr. Gene Edward Veith talking about worship. Dr. Veith is provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. He's author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross, The Way of the First Evangelicals. You can read an excerpt of The Spirituality of the Cross at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Dr. Veith's book by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross. Dr. Veith, thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
All of this God rules. Now, how he rules, it often leaves us deeply dissatisfied. It doesn't look like God is ruling sometimes, especially in the world. even in the church, it doesn't look like he is ruling. It looks like men have taken over and are messing things up, or men have taken over and are thwarting the will of God. Don't make that mistake. God continues to rule in the world where never expect a perfect solution. Even though God is at work there through human agencies, through those human agencies, there will never be a perfect solution. The law will never bring about the kind of righteousness that can only be brought about by the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. And that is to be found in a kingdom that only Christians occupy. And there, God really does affect the end and his goal, which is salvation through that word of Christ, through that message of his cross and resurrection for a whole world. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.